Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, April 4th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. The House demands 6 years of tax returns for President Trump and his corporations. Also on the Thursday rundown, confusion over a judge's ruling on Medicaid work requirements, plus more work needed to ensure kinship care. Topping our news, the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, using a provision in the federal tax code, formally requested Wednesday that the IRS hand over 6 years of President Trump's personal and business tax returns. The New York Times reports that starting what is likely to be a momentous fight with the Trump administration. Representative Richard Neal, a Democrat from Massachusetts, hand-delivered that two-page letter laying out the request to the IRS commissioner. Responding to the questions from reporters in the Oval Office, Trump suggested he would fight the request because he said he is being audited. The Kentucky Health Program, which would have required Medicaid recipients to work or volunteer in order to get their health care, will not begin this week.
A federal judge recently blocked implementation of the program, originally slated to go into effect Monday. Yet many Commonwealth residents remain confused about their eligibility. Bree Pearsall and her husband are farmers in Oldham County, growing vegetables and raising sheep. She says that since 2015, her family, including her two small children, have received health care through Medicaid.
As full-time farmers, we will always be in search of health care outside of the employer-sponsored model.
The state says the court decision means nothing has changed regarding Medicaid coverage or benefits, and anyone who received a Kentucky Health eligibility notice in the mail should disregard it. There is now a red banner on the Kentucky Health website, alerting online visitors there will be no changes to their Medicaid status. However, many Medicaid recipients may still be in the dark. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
The Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services released a statement saying it currently is considering next steps and the possibility of appealing that court decision. A new report shows that a record increase of referrals for child abuse and neglect has led to more foster care placements in states like Pennsylvania. More from Andrea Sears.
The Pennsylvania Partnerships for Children's 10th Annual State of Child Welfare Report says that between 2015 and 2017, referrals to General Protective Services increased 24%, the highest ever recorded, placing a strain on the state's foster care system. According to Kerry King, president and CEO of the organization, despite increased efforts to place children in the family-based settings most beneficial to children, almost half of placements still are in non-relative foster homes.
We really need to be hyper-aware of the supports that we can provide to the child welfare system to make sure they're capable of handling this increased caseload.
She stresses that children thrive best when they're placed with people they know, trust, and have an established relationship with.
And in the state of Tennessee, a regional overdose prevention program that equips citizens with naloxone is expanding across the state. Matthew Parriott with the Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services says the program is saving lives.
We have documented that at least 2,000 lives have been saved through this program, and we believe the actual number to be much higher, but because of the stigma of addiction and other reasons, you know, somebody might not necessarily report to us, oh yeah, I saved my brother's life with the naloxone you gave me. He's still at risk for overdose. Can I have another dose?
In Tennessee, the regional overdose prevention specialists have trained more than 30,000 people statewide. And a thorough cleanup of the Colstrip coal ash plant could provide a major economic boost. Eric Tiganoff's been looking into a new report.
The Northern Plains Resource Council, a grassroots conservation and agriculture group in Montana, has released an analysis that finds using an extensive process of cleaning up the Colstrip ponds would create an average of 218 jobs a year over the first 10 years. That's more than double plant owner and operator Talon Energy's proposal, estimated to sustain about 91 jobs a year. Northern Plains Board Chair Becky Mitchell says extensive cleanup also would help local ranchers.
Responsible coal ash cleanup creates hundreds of good-paying jobs for the local workforce over decades, and it ensures the local ranching community can rely on clean groundwater for their livelihoods.
The process studied in the report would remove coal ash from the pond and store it in a high and dry place away from the water table. Talon has proposed a cap-in-place method that would cover the ponds but leave coal ash inside. Northern Plains estimates the high and dry method would cost more than twice as much as cap and place over the next 5 decades. It also finds that the more thorough cleanup would bring in twice as much income to the Colstrip community. Colstrip owners are legally and financially obligated to clean up the site. Mitchell notes that no one wants Colstrip to become a Superfund site, and owners need to do what's right for the community.
This would be a way for them to stay in the community for a greater amount of time. The jobs that will be created with cleanup are professional, skilled, and non-skilled jobs, and there's a huge amount of skilled labor in Colstrip.
A previous report from Northern Plains says ponds at Colstrip, which cover roughly 800 acres, leak about 200 million gallons of contaminated water a year into the ground. The plant owners have to retire 2 of their 4 units by 2022.
I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsin' and cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and you'll find us online at publicnewsservice.org.